Hi everyone, I'm Frank Blocksberg, Chief Instructor of Aikidoka in Grass Valley, California. Welcome to the Aikido Stories Podcast, episode number 5. Michael Friedel-sensei and I are co-hosts of the Aiki Summer Retreat, June 21 through 27, 2015. If you want to really improve your Aikido, learn from incredible instructors, train with fun people, all in beautiful surroundings, then you want to attend the Aiki Summer Retreat. For more information, go to joinaikido.com, joinaikido.com, and look for the Summer Camp tab. You can also search for Aiki Summer Retreat 2015. That's Aiki Summer Retreat 2015. This episode brings us another story by Craig Five-Sensei. Five-Sensei, 6th Dan, is Chief Instructor of Aikido Northwest in Portland, Oregon. This story is about an extraordinary training experience Five-Sensei had with Hiroshi Ikeda Shion at Aiki Summer Retreat.
My years of practice, it was a moment that I'll never forget, a training experience that I'll never forget, that I treasure, and that this experience happened at Aiki Retreat, Aiki Summer Retreat in San Rafael, which we did there for years, you know, and I went there for years, 13 years, actually. In those days, he trained in every class. He taught his class, but he trained in every class, every other teacher's class. When I first started going, I watched this thing happen, and I realized what happens is that people that want to could ask Friedel-sensei if they could train with him. And then he would say yes, and then those two people would train together during whoever's class was being taught. And he would ring them out and clean their clocks and push them to their limits. And I witnessed this. I watched this, happen numerous times. And so I got to the point where I thought, you know what? I want to have that experience. And I'm going to ask him. I'm going to ask him if I can have a training experience with him. This is the first time I ever did that. And he accepted. And so I had made this decision that, when that happens, I am going to train absolutely as hard as I can. I'm not going to hold back anything. I'm not going to make excuses. I'm not going to, I'm going to give it everything I have for that hour. And obviously, everything I had, would certainly not be enough. But that was my decision I made. I'm going to do that. I'm going to put everything I have into it. So away we went. And Naito-sensei was teaching the class. Initially, when the class started, he was talking quite a bit. And I remember thinking, this is my big chance to train with the kids and say, I wish you'd stop talking so we could train. And being kind of impatient about it like that. And pretty soon, he did stop talking and the training escalated. And away we went. And, doing that kind of training one-on-one with the kids, it was like he would throw me, when it was his turn to throw, right at the limit of my ability. I would attack him as hard as I could, and I would get up as fast as I could, and of course none of that mattered. I got thrown as, right at the edge of my ability to take a fall and my ability to survive his throw every single time. And then it would be my turn to throw. And it was my turn to throw. Of course, he would suddenly weigh 600 pounds. And he wouldn't move an inch, except that, when he was convinced that I had made my very complete, total, the best effort, and then he would budge, a centimeter and then another centimeter. It was exhausting and absolutely grueling. And it was wonderful at the same time. It was fantastic. And class wore on, and we were training like that. And I was getting to the point where I was thinking, I was having that feeling where my legs were turning to rubber. Felt like my legs were gonna fail underneath me. I was losing my control of my wind, having the sense of I might lose control of my bowels, and like I was going to fail, and I wasn't going to be able to do what I had decided to do, which was, not hold back and train this absolute 100% the whole hour. And I was, still going as hard as I could, and I was having those experiences and those feelings and the realization that, damn, I'm fading here. of course, we had no dialogue about any of this at all. You know, it's not like I said to him, Sensei, I want to train with you. And boy, when I do, I am going to push myself to absolute as hard as I can. And what I expected, and I think what I would have done, is that maybe he'd lighten up a little, that he would soften his throws, slow down a little, give me a chance to catch my breath, that kind of thing. He didn't. In fact, he did the opposite. And what he did was he started throwing me harder. And the other thing he started doing was he started breathing more noticeably so that I heard him breathing. And I'm certain that he wasn't doing that for his benefit. He was doing it for my benefit. And I realized that he was giving me the energy and the information I needed to continue. And he did that without a word of dialogue. And it worked. I started putting my attention, more attention onto my breathing, and I made it. I didn't have to slow down. I didn't have to say, oh gosh, thanks for giving me to catch my breath. Oh gosh, can I sit down for, you know, I didn't, none of that happened. I made it through the hour, and it's fantastic. And the thing that struck me about it is that to realize that I didn't have to say any of it. He and I had never spoken about that ever, and don't need to, because nothing was said beforehand. But he knew. He knew what I was doing. He could have, in one throw, he could have chosen to make it impossible for me to get off the ground. And I don't mean just by injuring me. I just mean by, he could have used his energy in such a way that I wouldn't have been able to get up, that I would have failed. And, you know, he has that ability to do that. And instead, he used his energy to communicate to me, and he gave me a gift, and the gift was, you know, I'm going to carry you through this practice. I'm going to give you some guidance without a word spoken, and help you accomplish your goal, which, by the way, you never mentioned to me what it was, but you don't have to. I know what it was. So that experience was profound for me, and I'll never forget it. And I he's a wonderful man and an amazing teacher, and that kind of communication, that level of connection, non-verbal connection that we, you know, that we aspire to, like, you know, to experience that with someone viscerally, like that was pretty profound. Why go to Aikido summer camp? Well, I'll tell you why I think it's worth the effort. Because it's a unique opportunity to immerse yourself in practice. And it's an incredible gift to ourselves. You know, as a kid, I never went to a summer camp as a kid. Gosh, it's so much fun. It's so much fun to say to the world around you, look, I'm going to put you on hold for 7 days, and I'm just going to immerse myself in this thing that I really love, and I'm going to do it in a beautiful place, and I'm going to join a bunch of people that I really get along with well, and just do this thing, and I'm not going to have to cook. I'm not going to have to drive anywhere in particular. Once I'm there, I'm not going to have to worry. I'm not going to sit in front of my bills and my problems and my struggles like I do every day in my day-to-day world, because this is a vacation from all that and an opportunity to immerse myself in something that I truly love. And so because of that, amazing things happen. You know, opportunities to talk to people, opportunities to share feelings and emotions and experiences, opportunities to move deeply into the practice, opportunities to not be interrupted in the process of exploration of ourselves through this practice. Because, you know, what do we do normally? We go to the dojo, we train for an hour, maybe even two, and we visit for a while afterwards, and then we hurry home so we connect with our family, and we take care of business. We get these little snapshots. And I often think about that, you know, that here we are in a completely different culture than Aikido's parent culture, and we're trying to learn about something that is foreign to us in that way. And you know, besides that, we're trying to learn something that's extraordinarily difficult to do. There's nothing easy about learning this art at all. And we do it in little snippets. We take an hour out of our day and we put on that little uniform and we have a little snippet of an experience, and then we go back to the rest of our world. Summer camp is a chance to not have to do that, to just train from the things that are important to us, but sometimes keep us from reflecting and opening our hearts and our minds to other things that are really probably more important to us. And we probably all acknowledge that. But, you know, you got things to do, and so do I. And and that's always on our mind. For a few days out of a year, if we do that summer camp retreat thing, well, we don't have to do that. And that is an amazing gift. An amazing gift that we can give ourselves. And so I think that's why summer camp.
I hope you enjoyed Craig Sensei's story as much as I did. If you're enjoying this podcast, then please do us a favor. Go to iTunes and leave a 5-star rating and a nice review. I understand that's the best way to get the word out about the podcast. Thank you. And don't forget Aiki Summer Retreat 2015. It's coming up really soon, June 21 through 27, 2015. Check it out at joinaikido.com or do a Google search for Aiki Summer Retreat 2015. See you soon. Bye now.